so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now I want to talk to you about faith. There will probably be some things that I'll say here concerning verse 1 that you're very familiar with. The fact is that faith is a substance, and that the word substance there implies a foundation. The word, the faith is the foundation of that which we hope for. It is the evidence of the things which we've never seen. In other words, by faith we see those things that we look forward to, and as in Romans chapter 8, we patiently wait for these things to come to pass. By faith we're justified. Faith is the foundation of whatever we have in Christ today. There is nothing that we could have which is in Christ Jesus without this faith. Now go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Now in Romans chapter 10, in effect, he's dealing with the fact that Israel has rejected the Lord because of their works under the law. And that he's showing that righteousness in verse 6 is of faith. In other words, a man is made righteous by faith. And come down now to verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? In other words, a person can't ask the Lord to save him without believing. How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, verse 17 is in reference to verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed, and how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, let's see what, in other words, up to this point then, we find that faith is the foundation of that which we hope for. It is that on which we stand. It is that on which we base our hopes. A man without faith has no hope. And you can always tell the man who has faith by the hope. All right? Our foundation then is faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If our faith is not based upon the word of God, it's no good at all. We have no hope. In other words, if our faith, as Paul, and Paul gave an example of this, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in much fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, reason, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In other words, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If your faith is based upon anything outside the word of God, then your faith is useless, it's hopeless. You have no hope. Hence, you find so many people today, you say, are you saved? Well, I hope maybe that I am. Well, what is your hope in? And they don't know. Their faith is not based upon what God said. They sit in a daze. They sit and they hear the message. They hear the preaching. They hear the teaching. Some of them don't want to hear it. Sometimes their mind is 1,000 miles away. Some of them are thinking about something they got to do next week or just any number of things. You can't have faith by praying. You say, well, I'll get faith. I'll go home and get off in my closet somewhere. I'll get out and I'll pray. No, you won't. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And faith is the foundation upon which you stand. Therefore, the foundation on which you right now are established depends upon your faith. And based upon the Word of God. And if your faith is in the wisdom of men, it isn't worth a dime. It's just sinking sand. And when the storms of life begin to rage, it'll wash out from under you and you'll drown. Faith is based upon the Word of God, faith that stands. Now, turn please to Romans chapter 14. Romans 14. Now, I'm well aware of the context of Romans chapter 14, and it has to do with weak versus strong brethren. But I want to refer to, notice in verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he allowed. Now keep in mind what we just saw. Without faith it's impossible to please God. Faith is the foundation for our hope. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Okay, then, happy is the man that condemns not himself in that thing which he's allowing, for that which he allows is based upon the Word of God. He does what he does upon what God said in the Word of God. His faith is based upon that, and he's not condemned in that thing which is permitted him to be doing in the Word of God. There's so many people today that are walking around condemned and guilty and in the worst mess you ever saw, because their faith is standing in the wisdom of men, and they are condemned in the things they're allowing. They do certain things that is natural in this life to do, and they're condemned because their faith stands in the wisdom of men, not in the Word of God or the power of God, and they walk around in a state of confusion all the time, heads bowed down, scared to death, always condemned, never have peace in their heart, never satisfied in this life. Verse 23, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Therefore, if your faith is based upon the wisdom of men, you're living in sin. If your faith is based upon that which men told you, a denominational system gave you, and is not based upon the Word of God, you have no foundation under you. You are living in sin, no matter if you don't drink, smoke, if you don't gamble, if you don't play around, any of these things that people are always preaching about. No matter if that doesn't exist in your life, you still are living in sin, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Blessed is the man, or happy is the man, that does not condemn himself in that thing which he allows. Why? That thing which he allows is based upon the Word of God. And in the Word of God, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He knows, by rightly dividing the Word of truth, how to live in this present dispensation a pleasing life unto God. Other people don't like the life he lives sometimes, and they condemn him, but he's not condemned in the life he lives, for he knows that which he has by faith is based upon the Word of God. Happy is the man that condemneth not himself in that thing which he allows. Now, then we've got a foundation. Faith is that foundation. That faith, that foundation came by hearing by the Word of God. And the faith, that foundation that he has, allows him to live a happy and peaceful life in the dispensation of grace, not being condemned by the commandments and doctrines of men, for his faith is based upon the Word of God, rightly divided. Now, with those things to begin with, there are four things I want to refer to concerning your faith. Number one, the purpose of faith. Number two, the promise of faith. Number three, the privilege of faith. Number four, the power of faith. First, the purpose of faith. Number one, it's the way to please God. Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Well, then you can't please God without faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Then the purpose of faith. It is the only way to please God. The second thing in the purpose of faith, it's the way of salvation from God. By grace are you saved through faith. It is the medium. It is the way that God provided for the salvation of those that He chose in Christ before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, God Almighty looked forward and saw a group of people that would trust Christ as their Savior. God gave His Son on Calvary to justify those that He foreknew would trust Him. And God provided the means. He allowed that these people who heard the gospel that Jesus had died for their sins to justify them, that they by faith might be justified and be saved. It is the means whereby God Almighty saves the individual. The purpose of faith. In other words, there could be no salvation for anybody in the age of grace without faith, or any other age for that matter. The purpose of faith. It's the only way to please God. It is the only means of salvation from wrath. And then the next thing, it's the way of blessing from God. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. You want God to bless you? Well, there's no other way. James chapter 1. And notice verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Faith is the way of blessing from God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Let's forego that for the moment. The next thing, the purpose of faith, it's the way of acceptable service to God. Turn, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, the purpose of faith, number one, it's the only way to please God. Number two, it's the way of salvation from God, or from His wrath. Number three, it's the way of blessings from God. And number four, it's the way of acceptable service to God. And by the way, well, this thing about blessing from God is prayer is included there. Paul said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It is the way of blessings from God. Now, it's the way of acceptable service to God. 2 Corinthians 5, and notice verse 6. Therefore we're always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We're confident, I say, willing rather, to be absent from the body, and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, in other words, the acceptance of our faith, the acceptance of our works, rather, is based upon that which we do by faith in the Word of God. look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day, and that's a day of judgment, shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. In other words, then, our works today that are done must be done in the name of the Lord, by faith in the Word of God, rightly divided, or our service will not be acceptable to God when we come face to face with Him at the judgment seat of Christ. The purpose of faith is the way to please God. There is none other. It's the way of salvation. It's the way of blessings from God, and it's the way of acceptable service to God. Compare Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel, as young boys, no doubt are told what God will accept. Adam stands in the garden there, no doubt, and watches the Lord as he kills the little animals, takes their hides off and prepares them, and clothes himself and Eve. They're put out of the garden. Don't you know that God told Adam before he left there how he could approach the throne? Why, obviously he did. He would have had to have instructed him, or else there could be no condemnation of Cain in that which he did. Therefore, I know that Adam had been instructed. I can see Adam as he instructs his two sons. He explains to them that without blood, you cannot approach unto God. You've got to have a blood sacrifice. Abel goes and gets a blood sacrifice. I know, according to Genesis chapter 4, that there was a place to bring, there was a time to bring, there was a sacrifice to bring. I know that Abel brought the proper sacrifice at the right time to the right place with the proper attitude. And he's blessed of God. I know that Cain rebels and will not do that which God had instructed. And so he brings a sacrifice of his own choosing, as some people do today, expecting God to bless him. He gets there and offers that sacrifice, and God calls out to him and in effect rebukes him, and the Bible said his countenance fell. And as a result of God refusing to accept his sacrifice, having accepted Abel's, Cain kills Abel. Malice sets in, hatred and anger, and then death and murder follows all that. Now, happy is the man that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Cain could not be happy in that service that he was rendering, and that unhappy state of mind brought him into a place where he murdered his brother, and he still cannot be content. He can't have peace, and he begins to run, and he tries to get away, but he cannot escape. And he said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. The purpose of faith. Why faith? There is no other way provided for us to please God. There is no other way of salvation. There is no other way of blessings from God. And there is no other way of service to God except by faith. Then the second thing, the promise of faith. Number one, the purpose of faith. Now the promise of faith. Or I could say the promises. But the promise of faith. Number one, righteousness. Turn, please, to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The righteousness then that is ours is the righteousness of God applied to us by faith. Look in chapter 4, verse 4. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Well, then the promise of faith is righteousness. If you have faith, that is, if you believe the right things, there comes that thing about the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Then if the Word of God rightly divided is accepted by you, and if you believe the proper things in the Word of God, then you are made righteous while you're still sinful. In other words, the righteousness of God is applied to you not because you did good, but because of faith. The promise of faith. Number one, righteousness. Number two, justification. Go back to Romans 3 again. Romans 3, verse 28. Make it 26. I say at this time is righteousness, that it might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in him. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Go to chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans 5, 1. Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, then justification is the promise of faith. In other words, if you have faith, if you believe the proper things, God will make you righteous. If you believe the proper things, then you are justified. And then the next thing, the promise of faith, has to do with our becoming children of God. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Let's start in verse 22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. In other words, the law is dead. We're dead to the law because of our faith in Christ. Verse 26, for you're all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Well, then, the promise of faith is that those that believe on Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are made children of God. And then the last thing in the promise of faith right now that I want to refer to is the salvation which is ours. In other words, the promise of faith is justification, righteousness, children of God, and then salvation. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What is not of yourselves? The salvation. The faith is your faith. It is your believing him. To illustrate that, go back with me, please, and take Ephesians chapter 2, in case there should be some misunderstanding. Take it in one hand. Take John chapter 3 in the other. John 3 and Ephesians chapter 2. Now, there are some hyper-Calvinists that try to teach that the faith of Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9 is the gift of God, not the salvation. So watch this now. Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that faith not of yourselves, that faith is a gift of God. Now that complicates things. Let me show you how. Go to John 3 verse 36. John 3 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now watch it. Verse 36, he that has faith on the Son of God, having been a gift of God given unto him, has everlasting life. He that has not faith in the Son of God, that faith having been given to him by God, shall not see life. but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now, doesn't that foul things up, though? For instance, if my faith in Jesus Christ is the gift of God, how could God Almighty bring his wrath on somebody for not believing when God himself never gave them the faith to believe in the first place? Well, that's silly. In other words, the statement of John chapter 3, verse 36 could not be true if the faith of Ephesians chapter 2 is the gift of God. Won't work. In other words, God gave me the faith to believe on his Son, and since I believe on his Son, I have everlasting life. But God never gave some other people the faith to believe on his Son. Therefore, he's going to pour out his wrath on them because they wouldn't believe on him when he didn't give them the faith to believe in the first place. What a mess. No. We're saved by faith. Your faith. Just like Cain. Cain's faith brought the condemnation of God upon him, and so will that person out there who refuses to believe the right thing. His faith is going to bring wrath upon him, just like faith in the right thing brings salvation from God. All right? The purpose of faith, the promise of faith, and then the third thing, the privileges of faith. Privileges of faith. Turn to Romans chapter 8. The first thing I want you to notice is that we're heirs of God by faith. Romans chapter 8. And let's start reading in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. In other words, a servant could never use the phrase, Abba, Father, to that man that he was a servant unto. Only a son begotten by the Father could use the word Abba. Jesus Christ is an illustration. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he cries, Abba, Father. It's a special closeness there between the begotten son and his father that cannot be spoken by a man who's just a servant in the household. Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Well, then the privileges of faith is that I might become a joint heir with Christ. In other words, I'm an heir of God, and I have a special privilege. That privilege is as a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, whatever the Lord Jesus Christ has, I have the same thing. In other words, whatever God Almighty would bless Jesus Christ with, God will bless me with. For being good? No. There's none good? No, not one. Or there's none that doeth good? No, not one. Or there's not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not? And on. It isn't by doing good. Then what? By faith. Then notice that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings, the privileges of faith. In other words, I don't know if I'm making myself clear to you or not. Hey, you have special privileges. You are set on a plane that nobody else is on. For instance, Paul tells the Galatians, in effect, he said, if you are justified by works, you are fallen from grace. It's like as if there's a plane up here. This plane is grace. These on this plane are joint heirs of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ. Everything that Jesus Christ has, they have. But those that are claiming their justification by works are fallen off that. They are not on that plane. They're fallen from grace. They're not on the same plane. And God doesn't see them in the same manner that he sees those who are justified by faith. The blessings and the privileges of faith. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Listen, folks, our blessings are not in the physical realm. Our blessings are in the spiritual realm. Now, with that thought in mind, I want you to compare something with me. Turn, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. And for Ephesians chapter 2 and Mark chapter 7. Ephesians chapter 2 and Mark chapter 7. I've been thinking about preaching a message with a title. I seldom ever do that. And let that title be something like Crumb-Eating Pilgrims versus Joint Heirs with Christ or something like that. You know, you see a lot of crumb-eating pilgrims today who never get anything but crumbs, and they never believe they deserve anything but crumbs. I have a song at home that I bought the other day for this purpose, working on this thought here. And that thing goes, Lord, feed the children, but just give me the crumbs that fall from the table. Baloney. The woman that wrote that song, and it's written by a woman, no more would settle for crumbs than Rockefeller would. She wrote the song to get more than crumbs, and she not satisfied to crawl around on her hands and knees under somebody's table eating the crumbs that fall off. She expects to be a millionaire if it's possible. That's why she wrote the song. Now, look in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. For he is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition. No, that isn't where I want to read. I want you to go back a little further. Verse 12. That at that time, which is time past, at that time you were without Christ, being strangers from the commonwealth of Israel, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you sometime are far off or made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now come down to verse 19. Now therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. In other words, there was a time back there, say that this represents Israel here, and this represents the Gentile here. There was a time back there that the Gentiles were under dominion to Israel, and the Gentiles could get the blessings of God through the nation Israel. Whatever that was offered through that medium, they could get that. There was no direct way to get to God for that Gentile except through Israel. But not anymore. Now that Gentile has been placed up here, and the Jew and the Gentile gets to God through this plane up here, not this one down here. We're no more strangers and foreigners and whatever. I mean, we're in the household of God and whatever. Now, go back to Mark chapter 7, verse 26. The woman, comes to Jesus now, was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, and of course the children are the children of Israel, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. In other words, the condition of the Gentile back here was like a dog under a table, crawling around all day, and anything that fell off the table where the children were eating, and he's talking about blessings from God there, anything that fell off there, they got it. And that woman came to the Lord there in all humility, not in humility to him as much as in humility to his position as the head of Israel, as the king of Israel, and she's subject to Israel, and she knows that if she's going to be blessed, she must adhere to that condition that prevailed at that time. So she gets the crumbs. I'm saying to you, there are thousands of people out there today that could have all blessings in spiritual places. They're available to them, and all they've got is crumbs. They're just crumb-eating pilgrims marching down that road to that celestial city with all the hazards and the heartaches and the trials on the way. And if they don't fall off on this side or fall off on that side, or if they can overcome the devil and they can overcome the temptation, oh, they can see the glimmer of that beautiful city there, and they'll finally be able to walk on the streets of gold and just continue to eat the crumbs and all this kind of stuff. No, folks. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We're joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, we sit at the King's table. There isn't a blessing that belongs to the Lord that isn't ours by faith. Spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And then the third thing, the privileges of faith now. Joint heirs with Christ, blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ, and then access to God. Go back to Romans chapter 5, please. Romans chapter 5. In Romans 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. In other words, one of our privileges is access to God. There's a preaching and a teaching that unless you live a holy and a righteous life in this life, and unless you are totally dedicated and saturated and whatever else that they can find adjectives to fill in there, why, you can't approach the throne of grace. God will not hear your prayer, and on and on. Well, bless your soul, we have access to the throne by faith through this grace that we stand in. We that stand in His grace, by faith, we go to the throne at any time, under any circumstances, under any condition, no matter what your condition might be in this present evil life. You have access to the throne. Wherein you stand in this grace, standing in His grace, you have access by faith. That is one of the privileges of faith. And then the last thing, the power of faith. Now we've mentioned the purpose of faith, then the promise of faith, the privileges of faith, now the power of faith. And this one is by far the hardest to deal with. It's the more complicated. The reason it is because it is of faith. And we want the power of God to shine forth in our life. We've heard so much of this stuff about laying hands on the sick and seeing the power of God work in their lives, and God has given me power over this sin, and I've had power to live for, on and on and on. Well, people are so accustomed to that kind of thing, they can't expect the power of God to be something that isn't visible in the sense of, like, for instance, the man stands there and he hears the wind blow and it's not there. And then he looks at the armies and the power isn't there, and on. Where's the power? It's in a small, still voice, and that voice is faith. God's power is unlimited. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. You see, this is beyond our imagination. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, Paul wants them to understand what is the great, exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things of the church, which is His body. I want you to understand then that this power that we are dealing with is an unlimited power. You see, the power these people talk about healing, that has a limit. This is unlimited. The second thing I want you to notice, this power, this unlimited power, works from within. Go to chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in earth and heaven is named, or heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. In other words, you can't get this by wisdom. You can't get it by education. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. In other words, this power then works within us. It works within the believer. And it is by faith. What I'm trying to get you to see is, listen, you have to use this as an expression of faith. You can't use this and say, well, I saw this power work there. I saw it demonstrated there. This person was healed, and I saw with my eyes. No, it's not that kind of thing. Hey, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation of everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Well, then what do I know? I know that by faith I preach the gospel of Christ, and God Almighty will do the work. I may not see it. I don't have to see it. I don't have to see them walk the aisle for Jesus while we play Just As I Am without one plea. I don't have to see them kneel at the altar. What do I need to do? Paul said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Why, Paul said, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom or of knowledge and all this and that and the other, that your faith might stand in the power of God, not in the wisdom of men. Hey, you have the power of God. You have access to this power. It's by faith. You must express that. How? By faith. How do you do that? Just do what he told you to do. That's how you do it. If you do what God told you to do, then the power will do its work. You can't go beyond that. You can't make anybody get saved. Oh, I know you can go in their home and you can tell them some sob story and all that kind of stuff and say, won't you right now take my hand here and get on your knees? Now, come on now. And you get them on their knees. And now will you repeat after me? Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and just on and on. I know you can do that. But you can never have satisfaction in your heart knowing whether they're saved or not. But I'll tell you something you can do. You can do what God said by faith and trust the power of God to do the work and go about your business being satisfied. Peace in your heart. Faith releases this power. Turn, please, to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Notice in Mark 11, verse 23, Mark 11, 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now you think about that. Say, Brother Moore, you're trying to tell me that I can call upon a mountain to be removed and cast into the sea and it'll happen? If you can believe in your heart and have no doubt that that'll take place, that's what he said. Now, I can't do that myself. You see, I don't believe that I can say to a mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. I mean, I doubt. You see, I don't believe that'll take place. I don't believe God Almighty called me to perform miracles in front of people. I believe he called me to preach and teach. All I'm trying to do is use an illustration. I'm trying to show you that the power of God as then, now, is released by faith. That man back there, for instance, Peter. Peter is given the keys to the kingdom. And by faith, he used the keys in Acts chapter 2, and the thousands of souls believed. And on and on. Well, the same is true of you and I. We're told what to do in the Word of God. By faith, we do that. And as we do it by faith, The power of God is released whether we see it or not. We don't have to see it. We walk by faith, not by sight. And then the last thing, dedication expresses that faith. You want to see faith in operation? Here's where you see the faith in operation. It's by dedication. Turn to Philippians 3. Philippians 3. Now don't let a man pull your leg about his faith until he'll do these things. Philippians 3, verse 4. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, is touching the law, Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which the law blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things, that is, the things I can boast in and do myself, but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my righteousness which is the law, but that which is the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now you want this power in your life? There's a way you can get it. How? By faith. Discard the things that you can boast in the flesh and brag on in the flesh and count them but dung, and by faith look to the Lord and expect